Inscribe, subtitled My Life in Sports. Bob Ryan discourses on everything from basketball to cross-country skiing. Though he is perhaps best known for his coverage of the NBA, Ryan's range over the past five decades has been enormous. The author joins me now. Bob Ryan, welcome to Only a Game.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bill.
The book is titled Scribe, and that's a nickname you picked up at the Lawrenceville School in New Jersey. Tell me a little bit about that.
It came about because I was kind of the sports guy in the class of 64, in that I was a football manager, I was a basketball player, and I was on track at that point in the junior year to being the sports editor of the school paper, and I was known for that. And the football coach, Jack Rydell, nicknamed me Scribe. And it stuck. It stuck in that community. It became how I was known. And for the last 50 years in the Lawrenceville community, right from the headmaster on down, I have been known as Scribe.
You had two long stretches covering the Boston Celtics. And at one point, you realized you had become, as you write in Scribe, emotionally invested in the team. What are the advantages and the disadvantages of that circumstance?
I think the advantages are the passion that you bring to the writing to the benefit of the reader. The negative, as I found out in that first incarnation from 1969 to 76, when I was in my 20s, by the way, is that it was wearying. It was hard. I felt at the end of the 1975-76 season washed out. Somehow or other, it was wearying on me to care too much about the fortunes of this team and the individual players.
Did the players know that you were too emotionally invested?
No. They knew I cared about them. They knew I was interested. They certainly knew I was a basketball-oriented person, and I had made these legitimate friendships with the like of John Havlicek, Dave Cowens, Paul Silas, one of my all-time favorite people, and Paul Westphal, to name four.
You are perhaps best known for your work as a basketball writer. Your colleagues nicknamed you the commissioner, but you maintain in Scribe that your favorite sport to cover is golf. How did that happen?
Well, it's because of logistics. It's a simple matter of the reality that television dominates sports, but the one sport that television cannot mess up for the print writer is golf. It's in the daylight. And therefore, you can write what you want to write without the encumbrance of an onerous deadline. And it wouldn't matter, though, if I didn't like golf. But I do like golf, and I enjoy the whole rhythm of a golf tournament.
And are you a player as well?
I've been playing on and off since I was 12. I probably peaked at 15. Seriously, never had a lesson. That's the big mistake. I learned how to grip the club from an older friend. I read Golf Magazine and launched my golf career.
There's a phrase that jumped out at me from the book. Actually, there were several, but here's one. Concerning the achievement of David Halberstam, you describe his work as celebrated in both the real world and the world of sports. Why is that?
Oh, you know, in the intellectual world and the news world, the sports department has always been nicknamed the toy department. There's a certain condescension that the world of journalism has about sports, and I understand that. It doesn't deal with real life issues, except when it does, you know. such as this so-called controversy in the NFL. You know, some good has come out of the whole Ray Rice thing. But in general terms, we're talking about people playing games, and it's a source of derision in some circles.
Your chapter about pro football is titled, I Can Hardly Believe It's Legal. What particulars about the game led you to decide on that title?
It's a brutal, barbaric game of carnage. It's a game that literally maims people, that if you are going to play it at a high level, college football or professionally, it's a very good chance that you will be afflicted for the rest of your life with problems with your back, your shoulder, your elbow, your arm, your neck, your ankle, whatever. In addition to which, we now know for sure, there is a frightening chance you will have cognitive impairment way too early. The NFL has actually said this year that one out of three players playing can expect to have this problem as they age. So step back. This is America's favorite game. This is the game we've chosen as our favorite game. What does it say about us as a society? And I say in the beginning of the chapter what the premise of the game is if I were explaining it to someone who had never seen it before. And I would like to think that when you explain the premise of this game and the way it's waged, that the person would say, that's legal?
Bob, you used to be one of those sports writers who felt soccer was a silly game because only one of the players could use his hands. I heard you say that at a women's professional soccer championship game. Have your views on the sport softened at all over the years?
I certainly have, in that I certainly have come to appreciate all the things that people enjoy about it, the artistry and the teamwork and the spectacular skills. I think covering the World Cup in 94, Bill, here, getting a taste of the international flavor really did broaden my viewpoint. And unfinished business in my personal life would be to get a chance to attend some major international matches in Europe.
The state of newspapers being what it is, a lot of people know you primarily as a television personality because of your regular appearances on The Sports Reporters, Pardon the Interruption, and Around the Horn. Do you have as much fun doing TV work as it looks like you're having?
I enjoy those programs, yes, but in particular, Pardon the Interruption. That format is right up my alley. It suits me ideally as well, I believe, and I enjoy that. That is the single most amount of fun one can have in television, in my judgment, is being one of those two people on Pardon the Interruption.
Talk a little bit, as we conclude this, about how sports writing has changed since the creation of the internet and the huge popularity of social media, and speculate about how sports coverage will evolve as the years go on.
The nature of the actual writing has not changed, just that the writers are now being distributed differently and electronically rather than print. But here's the difference. It's the instantaneous nature of forcing people into this frenzied competition just to get something out there. In the old days, if I had a story, a scoop, and I could write it, I could go home, eat dinner, I would know that when the paper was put on people's doorsteps in the morning, it was going to be there. Today, if you get a piece of information, it must be A, tweeted immediately, and then it must be put on your paper's website. And then, only then, does it go in the paper, whereby tomorrow morning it's old news. And I ask you this, most of this frenzy and that people have to be first involves two things, trades or signings. Are they that important that people have to go nuts daily over this? But that's what they do.
I couldn't agree with you more. Why it's important to announce that somebody's ankle is sore 5 minutes earlier than somebody else announces that.
Or a trade or a signing.
Yeah.
No, but it's seldom about matters of real importance. Well, unless, of course, a player oversleeps and misses practice.
Bob Ryan, the author of Scribe, subtitled My Life in Sports. Bob, thanks very much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I've written a review of Scribe that you can find on onlyagame.org, and there you can also read an excerpt of the book.